The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. Prayer is such an amazing privilege that God has given to each of us. According to the latest Gallup poll, more Americans will pray this week than will exercise, drive a car, or go to work. Billions of prayers are going up to heaven. But here's the question. Are those prayers being heard?
We may be uncertain if our prayers make it to God's throne. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie points out, at times, we may all wonder the same thing.
God, can you hear me now?
This is the day when the lost are found.
Bow our heads and close our eyes, and we pray to the Lord in heaven above. When we open our eyes again, everything looks the same. Everything seems the same. Did the prayer make it all the way to heaven, or did it take an off-ramp somewhere on the intercessional superhighway? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie begins a short series designed to improve our communication with God. We'll see how to talk to the Lord more appropriately, more powerfully, and how to see His answers.
Prayer. That's what we're going to talk about today. Praying. How to pray effectively. And we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer. So why don't we start with prayer. Father, we come before you now, and you've given us such a great privilege to approach you through Jesus in this thing we call prayer. And not only that, but you've given us a template for prayer, a model for prayer that we can follow and see our prayers answered in the affirmative. So like the disciples so many years ago, we would say, Lord, teach us to pray. We commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. All right, well, grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is a brand new series on the Lord's Prayer. And the title of my message today is Pray This Way. I was at a little shopping center a while back, and they have one of those little coin fountains. And I had two of my granddaughters there, Stella and Lucy. And so they like to throw the coins in the fountain. But I'm such a cheapskate, and maybe I shouldn't admit this, I reach in and grab other people's coins that have been thrown. Is that wrong? No, it isn't. They're throwing their money away. And besides, I'm probably voiding all of their wishes out, right? Just the moment I did. So I get the coins, and I reach in, grab them, give them to the girls. They say, throw the coins in. Now, the smaller coins, you'll make a little wish. But if there's a quarter, and yes, people throw quarters in fountains. I have no idea why. That's a big wish. So we're, you know, having fun. And then I ask them a question. Do you girls know the difference between a wish and a prayer? And it was little Lucy that said, well, Papa, that's what she calls me. She said, a wish we just make to ourselves, but a prayer we make to God. That's right. That's the big difference. And you know, when you really get down to it, everybody in some way, shape, or form does seem to pray. And you look back historically, and even the most remote tribes were found to present offerings and pray to their God and prayed for a lot of the things we still pray for today. The ancient Incas and Aztecs even sacrificed humans to get the God's attention. Muslims will stop 5 times a day and pray. Buddhists have their prayer wheels. Millions in AA groups will pray daily to a higher power, asking for help to overcome addiction. It seems like we can't help but pray. According to the latest Gallup poll, more Americans will pray this week than will exercise, drive a car, or go to work. 9 out of 10 of us pray regularly, and 3 out of 4 of us pray every day. As I'm saying this, billions of prayers are going up to heaven. But here's the question. Are those prayers being heard? And is there something or some things we can do to cause our prayers to not only be heard, but answered in the affirmative? Have you ever called someone in your cell phone and you're having a conversation and then you realize that you lost them like 2 or 3 minutes ago? And you wondered why they were so quiet. Maybe you had offended them or something, but in reality, you lost your connection. Remember that ad campaign that Verizon did a while ago called Can You Hear Me Now? Boasting of their great coverage. I'll tell you, I have Verizon and I get their bill, and boy, I hear them when they send that bill. But that's a question we might ask about our prayers. God, can you hear me now? Are these prayers being heard of, or have I lost my connection? Well, your prayers can be answered. Prayer is such an amazing privilege that God has given to each of us. If you've ever been in what seems to be an impossible situation with no way out, you've probably discovered that God can intervene and change things through prayer. Because prayer can change situations, it can change people, prayer can even change the course of nature. It's been said if you're swept off your feet, it's time to get on your knees. But most of all, the thing that prayer changes is you. Because God will allow hardship, challenge, and need to come our way, sometimes even tragedy, so he can reveal himself. So he can put his power and his glory on display for those who are watching. Really, when we pray, we're acknowledging our weakness. And maybe that's why some people don't like to pray. Especially men. I'm not weak. I don't want to pray. Why do men act this way? Well, because they're idiots. Because any guy with half a brain will know that he needs the help of God. Let's talk about the man's man for a moment. Who was the strongest man who ever lived on the face of the earth? No, not Superman. It was Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus prayed. He prayed often. He prayed in the morning. He prayed late at night. He prayed all the time. And if Jesus prayed, certainly we should do the same. I'll tell you that when we face the greatest crisis of our life, that is our son Christopher dying in an automobile accident, we learn to pray like never before. Not just praying prayers of petition, but prayers of desperation, prayers to get through the day. Three things helped me as we went through and continue to go through that crisis. And by the way, when someone loses a child, they never completely get over it. So never ask them the question, are you over it yet? It's just something you go through and you adapt to. But three things sustained us. And those three things were number one, prayer. Number two, the word of God. And number three, the encouragement of fellow believers. You know, I would find I would need to pray to get to sleep at night. It was very hard to sleep. I'd pray to get up in the morning. I'd pray to make it through another day. And we showed up in church 3 days after it happened. It happened on a Thursday, and we were in church the next Sunday morning. Some of you may have even been here in that service. And people would come up to me and say, oh, Greg, we saw you and your family at church. You're so strong. We can't believe how strong you are. I didn't come to church because I was strong. I came to church because I was weak, and I needed the help of God. And I needed to pray, and I needed God's word. And that's true of all of us. That's why it's so crazy to me when I hear people who are facing hardship will withdraw and sometimes even get mad at God. That's silliness. You need to turn to God, not turn away from God in times of crisis. The Bible says he is a present help in times of trouble. So you might say, well, Greg, I'm not going through any hardship right now. Things are going reasonably well. You should still pray. You should pray when things are hard and you need God's help. You should pray when things are going well, because you still need to acknowledge that is a blessing from God. James 5:13 says, are any among you suffering? They should keep praying about it. And those who have reason to be thankful should continually sing praises to God. There's nothing wrong with calling out to God in your time of need. In fact, God encourages you to do so. Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord says, call on me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The Lord's encouraging us to call out to him.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We love hearing stories about how God's word touches lives.
I've always believed in God, but I guess I never understood or was a skeptic. My life was pretty good, but something inside was telling me that there's more. a stagnant struggle with stress and anxiety. I just started reading the Bible for the first time in 40 years. Life is finally starting to make sense, and my anxiety seems less. I realized my problems were connected to the lack of purpose in my life. But no more. I surrendered my heart to the Lord.
What an encouragement. Has God's Word impacted your life? Would you let us know? Tell us your story by calling 1-866-871-1144. That's a special number, 1-866-871-1144.
Well, Pastor Greg is offering some practical insights on prayer based on what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. Let's continue.
Think of all the great stories in the Bible where people were facing crisis and how things changed when they prayed. There's old Jehoshaphat, and that's kind of a hard name to probably have to live with, you know, especially if you had a weight problem, you know. What's your name, Jehoshaphat? Mom, could you not have named me Jehoshathin? No, but anyway, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he had done all the right things to please God. Then suddenly, without warning, the bottom dropped out in his life, and he received a frightening report saying a vast army is coming to attack you. There was no way that Jehoshaphat could meet that army with his army. His army was not nearly large enough. Have you ever received a threatening letter? Someone threatening to sue you? Someone threatening to slander you? Someone threatening to kill you? Well, you know what it's like. So what did Jehoshaphat do? The Bible says he prayed. And why did he pray? Because we should not worry about anything, but we should pray about everything, Philippians tells us, and the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard our heart and our mind. And I love the prayer of Jehoshaphat. He says to the Lord in 2 Chronicles 20, O our God, will you not judge them? We have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We don't know what to do. But I love this. But our eyes are upon you. All the men of Judah with their wives and their children and their little ones stood there before the Lord. What a scene. All these families, little kids are saying, God, if you don't get us out of this, we are so dead. But our eyes are upon you. And you know what? God answered that prayer and he defeated their enemy. That's what we need to do when we're overwhelmed. Psalm 61:2 says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We read a story about a woman named Hannah who was unable to have a child. She prays. She becomes pregnant. She bears a child who becomes one of the greatest prophets in the history of Israel. We think of the mighty Samson, the he-man with a she-weakness that squandered his life and ended up with his eyes gouged out, a complete failure. But he prays for God to give him strength one last time, and the Lord answers his prayer. We think of Elijah the prophet who prays and the rain stops. He prays again and the rain comes back. He prays even another time and fire falls from heaven. Then we think of Paul and Silas in prison for preaching the gospel. And at midnight, they began to sing praises to God and they prayed and an earthquake came. And next thing they knew, they were free as birds. The apostle James is arrested and he's executed. Peter is arrested. He'll be executed next. The church pulls out their secret weapon and they pray. And before you know it, Peter has been released. So it's clear we need to pray. And I mentioned that Jesus prayed, giving us that example. And here's an interesting thing to consider. As the crucifixion approached, and Jesus, being God, was omniscient, meaning he was all-knowing. He knew what was coming down. He knew they were going to arrest him on false charges. He knew they were going to beat him. He knew they'd rip the beard out of his face. He knew that he would be whipped 39 times. He knew he would be nailed to a cross. But worst of all, he knew that he would bear the sin of all humanity. And he had never committed a single sin. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read he prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. But Hebrews gives us an insight. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. So it wasn't like, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup. No, it's more like, Father, If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He was crying out to the Lord. It unnerved the disciples, but there was passion in his prayer, fervency in his prayer. That's how we have to pray. I mean, imagine for a moment if your child broke their arm. You took him down to the ER. Would you pray for the doctor and those who were attending to your child? Well, of course you would. You'd pray. But imagine, God forbid, if your child was kidnapped. Would you pray? Oh, yeah, you'd pray. You'd pray fervently. You would pray a storm the gates of heaven prayer, and you would not take no for an answer. That's real prayer. And that's the way we need to be praying for America right now, because it seems like our nation has been kidnapped. We need to cry out to God. We need to pray that the Lord will send a spiritual awakening to the United States, and that God will send revival to the church, and that God will send revival to us. Fervent prayer. So here is now the Lord telling us how to pray. Who better qualified to tell us about talking to God than God talking to us? This is like the master class of prayer. Imagine if you could go to some amazing university and hear from the most learned people that have ever lived. You could study music under Beethoven, take a drama class from Shakespeare, political science taught by Thomas Jefferson. How about a philosophy class taught by C.S. Lewis? How about this? How about a class on prayer taught by Jesus Christ? Well, that's what the Lord's Prayer is. And it's a response to the request of the disciples. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. You know, there's a lot of things they could have asked Jesus to teach them about. One of them could have said, Lord, we're having a big family reunion. Teach us how to do the whole multiplying of the loaves and fishes. Hey, Lord, I'm taking a girl out on a date. Teach me how to walk on water. Come on. That would really impress her. They didn't pray for something like that. They said, Lord, we've watched you. We've observed you. And we want to know how to pray. And so he gives what is called the Lord's Prayer. Now, by the way, the Bible never calls this prayer the Lord's Prayer. But we'll refer to it as such because it's known that way. This is a prayer Jesus himself never would have prayed, because one of the petitions is, forgive us our sins. It's a prayer for us. It's a model prayer. You know, like when you are going to buy a house, it's a new track going up and they have the models you can look at. I'm always fascinated by those models. They have pictures of people that don't live there. They have fake food in the refrigerator. They have little fake computers and fake TV sets, and you walk around, but you sort of get a visual like, well, if I were to buy one of these homes, it would look something like this model. So Jesus says, here's a model for prayer. Look at this very carefully. It's not just a prayer to pray, though there's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer verbatim, but it is also a template or a model for all prayer in the future. And so Jesus is saying, if you want to pray effectively and know that God will hear you, pray this way. Here's the problem with the Lord's Prayer. And the problem isn't really with the prayer, it's with us. It may be the single set of words spoken more often than any other words in the history of the world, but the difficulty is they're so familiar we no longer hear them. You hear what I'm saying? Let me say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom. I mean, those are beautiful words, but, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me the Flintstones, modern Stone Age family. Ooh, I need your love, babe. Yes, I know it's true. I mean, just words, right? Jingles, songs. And so we just say these words, and we've said them so many times, we don't hear them anymore. So we need to slow down and break it down, because every word that Jesus used was intentional. Every phrase was meaningful. The very order of the prayer is significant. So we want to look at it very carefully, and we can learn from reading this how to pray. So look at Matthew 6. We're going to read verses 9 to 14. Why don't we go ahead and just say it out loud together. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, this powerful prayer can be divided into two sections. The first three petitions, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, deal with the glory of God, reminding us what the real purpose of prayer is. What is the purpose of prayer? The real focus of prayer should not be on us, but on God, not on what we want, but on what God wants. Really, when prayer reaches its ultimate, we get our wills aligned with His will, and we pray accordingly. Having said that, it is not wrong to pray for the things you need in life. But what I'm saying is, you need to understand that God's plan for you is better than your plan for yourself. How many of you believe that? His plan's better than yours. Yeah, it is. Psalm 84 says, no good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. If it's good, God will give it to you. If it's not good, God will not give it to you. You know, there are times we pray for things fervently and believe they're God's will, and He says no, and we're upset. But later in life, we look back and we say, thank you, Lord, for not giving me what I prayed for. You know, years ago, when I was but a young man, I fell in love with some girl. That happened quite a few times. And so I was probably just 18 or something like that. And I thought, this is the girl I'm supposed to marry. And I never proposed to her, but she was nice to me. But she really wanted nothing to do with me. She made that very clear. So I said, God, she's the one. Why didn't she know she was the one? That's because she wasn't the one. She was the right one for some other guy, and he was the right guy for her. And then I met my wife, Kathy, who was the one for me, and we've been married 42 years now, so God's plan was better.
Pastor Greg Laurie with some practical insights today on prayer. And there's a great deal yet to come as he continues this message here on A New Beginning. Now, to hear a replay of today's insight, just go online to harvest.org. Look for the study titled Pray This Way. You'll find there's often a few more minutes of insight waiting for you when you listen online. Or to get a permanent copy of the presentation sent to you on CD, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. You know, we all face challenges in life. Sometimes those challenges bring us right to the end of ourselves, and we wonder how we'll manage enough strength to go on. Well, Jeremy Camp was brought to one of those moments. You know Jeremy as a singer-songwriter. He wrote that powerful song, I Still Believe. Well, he authored a book by the same title that explores the story behind that song. In fact, that story will be released as a movie in just a few weeks. Jeremy faced unspeakable tragedy when his new bride died of cancer just weeks after they were married. And Pastor Greg spoke with him about his experience and what the Lord has taught him.
The Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.
Yeah.
And His mercy endures forever. It doesn't say give thanks to the Lord when you feel good.
Right.
Because sometimes we do feel good and other times we don't. And you offered to the Lord a sacrifice of praise, not unlike what Job did.
Right.
When he heard the devastating news of the death of his family and all the problems that befell him. And, you know, a similar experience happened to me after I heard that our son, who you knew, Christopher, died in an automobile accident. My home immediately filled with all these well-wishers.
Yeah.
I went to a little apartment above my garage and I just fell on the floor and I just said, Lord, I give him to you. And I literally worship God.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm some wonderful spiritual person. It's because I was weak. I was devastated.
Yeah.
And I was a father who lost his son, speaking to a father who gave his son.
Right. Right.
And I knew that the Lord understood what I was facing.
Yeah.
And you can ask God why.
Yeah.
He may not give you an answer.
Yeah.
Even if he did give us an answer, who knows if we'd be satisfied with it.
Yeah.
One day the why questions will be answered.
That's exactly right.
But you know, until that day, it's more the who question, as in who will I turn to? And I think what you've done is so important is you've not wasted your pain. You've taken a painful story, and it can't be easy retelling this story over and over.
Right. So I'm watching the movie, and I'm watching the scene where she passes.
This is your movie, I Still Believe. That's telling your life
story.
Yeah,
so I remember watching that, and it was hard. I broke down. I had to leave the room.
Was it almost like reliving it, or could you be objective and say these are actors?
It was like reliving it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so I remember sitting there, and I had to leave because I felt like I was there.
Wow.
And I got done grieving and just kind of going, what was that all about? And I stepped back, and I looked at my family. I'm getting emotional. I looked at my family, and I was like, But God.
Yes.
That's what it is. Yes. But God. And I look at my family and how he's been so faithful and what he's done. And now I'm watching this movie being portrayed about my life of how he's been faithful in the midst of this pain. And so I tell people, like, with what Jesus did on the cross when he said, why? He didn't get stuck there. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he goes, but I surrender. I surrender to your will. I surrender to your ways. And I think for me, that's what we have to do. We can't get stuck. If you're stuck, you'll never move on. Don't get stuck.
Thanks, Jeremy, for those words. Hey, everyone, we want to get you a copy of Jeremy Kemp's book, I Still Believe, where he talks about his life, the challenges he faced, all that he went through with Melissa, the lessons he learned, the victory he found, the hope he found in Christ. And it's all in a book titled I Still Believe, which, by the way, is also the title of a new film coming out in just days about the powerful story of Jeremy and Melissa Kemp. You'll want to read the book before you see the movie. And that's why we want to rush you a copy of Jeremy's book, I Still Believe. It'll inspire you. It'll help you. And it will certainly be of help to someone that you know that may be going through a very hard time right now. And we'll send you this book for your gift of any size. And by that I mean, whatever you can send, it will be put to good use. Where does your money go when you send it to Harvest Ministries? It goes right back into ministry. So we can bring this broadcast to you. So we can continue to teach God's word. So we can throw the net, if you will, and invite people to believe in Jesus Christ. I know you believe in that because you're one of our listeners, and we're thankful for that. So get your copy of I Still Believe. We'll send it to you for whatever you can invest in our ministry. And thanks for being a listener to A New Beginning.
Yeah, and we hope you'll let us get a copy of this book to you quickly so you can read it before you see the movie. Again, it's called I Still Believe. And we're sending it to say thank you to those who can partner with us to help us reach out with the gospel each day here on A New Beginning. It's only through our partners that we can be here. And we hope you might consider becoming a Harvest partner, one of the close friends who believe so strongly in the importance of evangelism and the effectiveness of Harvest Ministries that they're willing to invest an amount each month. And that amount is up to you. So get in touch today and ask about becoming a Harvest partner. You can call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or send your first gift as a Harvest partner to A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or look for the words Harvest Partner when you go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, more on the powerful privilege of prayer. Join us next time here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.